If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome in, Busted Open Nation, to the podcast edition, weekend edition of Busted Open Radio. I'm your weekend host, Ryan McKittle. Got the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, across the way. And Mark, we got a stack show for the nation today on the podcast edition, including our man Otis climbing that proverbial ladder. Well, not yet, but he did earn his way into Money in the Bank, getting the big victory over the dastardly Dolph Ziggler on Friday Night SmackDown.
And I think that a lot of people will see layers in this over the next coming weeks. But Otis, my man, you are on your way.
He's on his way. Also on our way, a blossoming feud between Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, which we will get to in this episode. And of course, it is the weekend edition of Busted Open Radio. So that means we will give you our weekly winner for the best show in professional wrestling in the week that was. And Mark, we're also going to share a story and talk about Dr. D, David Schultz, and the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion last year where you were the main event. But Dr. D also spoke and kind of had some thoughts on the WWE. I think a very interesting, enlightening story time for the nation out there.
I think people will come away from listening to the show and they'll compare it to Dark Side of the Ring and they'll see that there are some differences. So definitely tune in to this show. This will be the one that you talk about for a while.
There you go. You heard it from the world's strongest man. Sit down, relax, lay back, enjoy this Saturday. Click the play button and let's get it underway. Busted Open Radio, putting a capstone on 11 years. Happy anniversary to the entire crew. 11 years. What a show. Click play. Let's get it going. Busted Open. Otis, the big fat white guy, gets it done. We have been rooting for this pasty round man for what feels like, a year, Mark. But last night he gets what would we say? The biggest win of his career?
Oh, most definitely. This is easily, he beat a former IC champ and a former WWE heavyweight champ.
Yep.
It's not a lot of guys that have climbed that tree.
Yeah, let's throw to the audio. We got the victory. Otis going over on Dolph Ziggler last night. Let's go, Otis.
And now Otis is fired up. And here comes Otis into the Caterpillar. And this time, I don't think Dolph can get out of the way. Elbow delivered to the chest. Cover now by Otis. Hook of the leg. Get him. Otis qualifies for Money in the Bank.
All right, you heard it right there. Otis getting the victory over that dastardly Dolph Ziggler. And there was a moment there, Mark Henry, last night, where I thought there was a possibility that Dolph Ziggler was having a change of heart. After there was a moment in SmackDown where Sonya Deville attacked Mandy after interfering with her match and costing her the match, Carmella getting entrance into Money in the Bank, right? And then Sonya does the work on Mandy, bruises her up, throws her into some stuff, beats the shit out of her, really. So we cut to the backstage segment, and then there's Dolph Ziggler checking in with Otis and asking Otis, is Mandy okay? And Otis didn't believe him that he actually cared. And damn it, for a second, I actually thought, was there a heart in Dolph Ziggler? And then we found out through the rest of the episode that that was not the case, that he was just being a scumbag. And Sonya and Dolph are in, full heel mode, Mark Henry.
You know what, man? They're just deplorable people. I mean, to go and plot. But you know what, man? I have to give Dolph credit for his performance.
Yeah.
For his work. Not just in the ring, but backstage, the tears, the passion, he made me believe that he really cared. And I'm like, you dirty dog, you. He's still got a plot though. Like, just live, man. Why you want to hurt my man Otis like this?
Speaking of our man Otis, what are the chances Otis? What are the chances Otis gets that Money in the Bank briefcase, Mark? Because listen, this is all fun and games, but the WWE Championship, Universal Championship, it's an entirely different ball game. And Otis, listen, we like Otis. I think there's a future for Otis. Is Otis World Championship material? He's fun. He's engaging. Certainly, some of the best parts of the last year, certainly on SmackDown, were involving Otis. But champion Otis right now. What's the likelihood?
Well, he just beat one.
No,
which
true.
You know, kind of greases the skids if you've ever been around boats. It floats your boat. Like, I really believe that Otis has what it takes. It's just a matter of making him more of a serious, comfortable performer. And he's got to be able to be comfortable with it. And that's the hardest thing. It's not the crowd is accepting of what they get. But do you believe it? And I think that's where Otis is right now. It's up to him.
Well, it feels like he believes it. And you talk about believability. Is there any danger with this storyline that it's just so formulaic? The pretty blonde, the heel, the heel HBK, whatever you want to call it, right? Like the pretty boy Ziggler versus the fat, hairy, Otis. It's predictable in a sense, but it's also one of the more enjoyable storylines. I'm just wondering, is there a danger there? Do you see a danger with that storyline?
I don't. I mean, you look at classic tales like Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have characters that are not the aesthetic, but they come out at the end being the most forthright. They come out as being honorable. They come out as being cunning. And that is what Otis can portray. And you can be a champion. You look at Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle was very serious in his career. Then he went to drinking milk and, wholesome American boy. There's nothing wrong with me, Kurt Angle.
Right.
And
singing which songs.
Everybody started to love and have an emotional tie to. And then he went back to, I'm an Olympic champion. I'm the greatest wrestler that has ever come into the WWE and became a pro wrestler. And somewhere there's been a melting, amalgamation of who that wrestler became later on in his career. It all melted together. And it's the same thing with, the world's strongest man and the Olympian and the sexual chocolate and the nation and Hall of Pain. Like, all that stuff rolled into one after a while, and people respect you for the journey. And I think Otis is going to, he's just at the beginning of his.
It is. And that is a great point. We are just at the beginning of Otis's journey. And there's, there comes a lot of pressure, I'm sure, from Otis's standpoint. And you can speak to this, obviously, Mark. I cannot.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a lot of opportunity to be, what's Heavy Machinery been? 4 years, 3 years? It hasn't been that long, right? To now be in the midst of what is essentially a singles push. Tucky, we're thinking about you, buddy. But the truth is, I mean, this is a lot for Otis early on. I mean, it can go a couple of different ways, but there's no question, Mark, that this early in his career, he's got some real momentum behind him. And you talk about Kurt Angle, people, I think, forget, Otis has a real legit amateur background.
Yeah, and the guy is talented. I mean, Olympic-level wrestler, and he's got to be able to create those moments. We always talk about wrestling is about the moments. He had a couple of moments in Heavy Machinery.
Got his WrestleMania moment just a few weeks ago.
Yep, and now he's got one moment so far as it relates to him being a singles performer and beating Dolph Ziggler. And that reel has got to be compiled over another month or two. It's going to take time to build that. But I think he can do it. I think that he's got what it takes. People care, number one. Two, like you said, legit background.
Yeah.
And thirdly, he is funny and entertaining as all get out. So
yes, he is.
And it doesn't hurt that he's been built with this sympathy deal right now. A little sympathy. He's got the girl. He's got the kiss with the girl. Those moments are great, but now it's about victories and it's about him being like Rocky, going in, not doing well, training, the buildup, and then you come back and you, not only do you win the fight, but you win the crowd in the process of winning the fight. And that's just going to take time.
And I'm still waiting on Otis's mom to be unveiled. I mean, there's so much we can do. We talked about it last week. WWE is rumored to be going to more cinematic sort of presentations, similar to what we saw with Taker and AJ at WrestleMania and the Firefly Funhouse and all that good stuff. There's a lot we can do with Otis and his mom and Ziggler and Sonya. I like the way Ziggler and Sonya looked as a heel faction in the all black. I just like the contrast. I like the venom that both of them are spitting. I think there's some real legs there. Let me ask you back to Otis real quick, Mark. After last night, we saw the finish, and you guys heard it there just a second ago. Otis finishing Dolph Ziggler with the Caterpillar. Saw some chat on social media. That's not a finisher, yada, yada, yada. What's your take on that? Caterpillar, a legit finisher? You got any problem with that?
I mean, the Caterpillar was just a move that preceded the elbow to the throat.
Right.
I mean, like, you can beat somebody with an elbow to the throat. I think you may have to put more window dressing on it from the standpoint of maybe you beat five or six people before you get to it. But I guess they started it off with Dolph, so he's going to have to start beating people with the elbow.
Well, there was once a man in this business who had an elbow as a finisher, yeah, and life turned out pretty okay for him.
Yeah, and another one with a leg drop.
Yeah. Oh, man. Much less, I would imagine, much less wear and tear on the body with the elbow drop. No leg drops, kids. Hogan had talked about that for years, Mark. It ruined his, I mean, it didn't ruin his career, but it fucked him up.
Yeah, it messed me up, too. Early in my career, I did a lot of real high jumping elbow drops and real high dropping leg drops and ass bumps on the people. Yeah. And for the most part, I missed them. So those ass bumps was me jumping 5 feet off in the air and landing straight on my tailbone. And I broke it a couple of times. Oof. And not only did I break it, but I've jacked up the lower two vertebrae and thus me walking like Red Fox and Sanford and Son. So I'm going to do this stem cell treatment pretty soon. So
there you go.
There's hope for me, but man, I'm walking around here probably like a 60-year-old dude sometimes.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
One of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time, and frankly, one of the better single wrestlers of his generation, the Charismatic Enigma. Jeff Hardy scheduled to be making his return to WWE fairly soon. He will be on SmackDown next week confronting what looks to be Sheamus. It looks like, Mark, Sheamus and Jeff Hardy are on a collision course for potentially Money in the Bank or maybe after. I'm guessing Money in the Bank. I got to be honest. I'm a little bummed because I wanted Hardy in the Money in the Bank contest. I wanted to see what Jeff Hardy could do at Titan Towers. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see what he, you know, would be able to give us. But at the same time, I get it. Sheamus has been off TV. He needs his first big feud. Jeff has been off TV. He needs his big first big feud. And this one just lines up. I mean, we talk about it all the time, Mark. Styles make fights. Let's go.
Yeah, Styles makes fights. And I think it's no part of Jeff's that this whole Sheamus thing came about. It just happened last night. Sheamus said that, you know what? To hell with Jeff. I'll be here next week, too. It's not like Jeff is the one that's picking the fight. Sheamus is the one that's picking the fight. And you don't want to bring the fight to somebody that has got to recarve his path. And his success lies in the fact that how he performs. And you want to be the first one? Okay, Sheamus, I see you. But one thing about that is just because he's not in the ladder match does not mean that in this pay-per-view, he won't break out a 20-foot ladder.
That's a good point.
So just to help you out a little bit, Ryan, he will be able to climb a ladder and dive 20 feet out into the air and land on Sheamus and get that 1-2-3. And even though Sheamus has beat the hell out of everybody, the angle is going to start with that pay-per-view, and it's going to start with Jeff kicking his ass.
I like it. I like it. Well, let me ask you this. What's going on with Sheamus and Michael Cole? That's been a continuing story. Sure, making up words again. It's been part it's been a part of the narrative for the last few weeks. Where does Michael Cole fit into all this? Does he fit in, or was it just kind of a placeholder to wait until Jeff came around?
Well, I think that just like I said on the show yesterday, the guys need to start using the surroundings better. Sheamus is a smart guy, and he's using his surroundings. Like, look into the camera. Reach out to the camera to grab it and to tell people, I can choke you. Just like you can do things that is not the norm. Last night, Sheamus did that. He went down to Michael Cole, and he looked him in the face, and he slapped him on the back when he left.
Right.
And he basically said, you always doubt me. You always put everybody above me. I see you. I know you don't feel me, but that's fine. You wait the next week when Jeff gets out here, and the guy that you speak so highly of is going to get abused. And that's his whole, his mentality. And that's what we need. We need more guys that want to destroy you. They don't even care so much about the success. They just want to see the world burn. And I love Sheamus for that. And I've had probably 100-150 matches with Sheamus through his career. And one thing you're going to get is intensity. And he's never going to take a day off. So your ass better be ready to come to work and be rested. No partying no more. Take your ass to the hotel when this pandemic is over, and get some sleep and eat good. Because when you get to the arena and you see your name on that list and Sheamus is on the other side, it's going to be a fight.
Well,
you're
going
to have to be ready.
I don't know who that poor soul was that got his ass kicked by Sheamus last night, but you saw it with that 10 beats of the Bowery when he turned some around. Dude just dropped out. He's like, I'm good. Fuck that. I'm out. I'm peace. Oh. No, thank you.
Man.
You've taken that more than a few times, Mark.
Shit. More times than I gave the World's Strongest Slam. And I'll tell you this. Like, there were a couple of nights where I went to the back going, is he trying me? Like, what the shit? And Jeff, if you're listening, get ready. It's coming.
It's menacing.
The pain train is coming. And his name is Sheamus. I call him Sheamus.
Like Alberto Sheamus. Del Rio. Del Rio used to call him Sheamus. Sheamus. I used to love that. I don't know. It was like Trump saying China. It was terrible. I don't like about Trump, but little inflection goes a long way. Sheamus. I love it. You brought up a good point, and you mentioned yesterday, and what a week it's been for Busted Open, celebrating 11 years. Obviously, the festivities in full swing. We got Dave LaGreca coming up in hour two. Because Dave spent the whole week asking people what their favorite moments were from Busted Open and favorite memories, but no one asked Dave what his favorite moments were. So we're going to get the fearless leader.
That's what this show is for.
That's exactly correct. But something that you said yesterday, Mark, and I think it's a very valid point, and I expect to start seeing the swing or the turn happening soon, and that is, you know, workers, wrestlers, using their voices and making the silent arena work for them, captivating the audience by bringing the audience in because their surroundings, I mean, listen, it's a different time. It's a pandemic, right? There's no crowd. We know what this is, but unusual circumstances can offer, you know, pathways to greatness or a change in a way of an approach. And I thought the stuff that you said yesterday about bringing people in and playing to the camera and using your voice, because everyone can hear you. You're in a dead ass arena. Like there's everything that you say can be picked up by the camera. And that offers a really cool avenue for workers to kind of expand on the psychology.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Historically, there have been maybe 20 guys that they can say everything, they can do everything, and they can win, they can lose, and it won't matter. Like, it's only been about 20. There's 88 guys on the roster. So you need those 20 guys, one of those guys, to be in the ring with one of those other guys.
Yeah.
To help get the job done. And my reaching out and imploring that guys step up was not speaking to those 20. They already know.
Right.
It's that next tier of guys, that next 20, that needs to step it up and make it easier on the top 20 guys. And that's not just the top 20 guys in WWE, NXT, and SmackDown, or Raw, NXT, and SmackDown. Same thing with AEW.
Yeah.
I mean, we can only watch the top 10, 20, 15 guys so much before we go, damn, is there anybody else in the back? So I'm trying to get everybody to step up. MLW, step up. New Japan, step up. Power. Step up. And I mean, it's good, but it could be great without a crowd. It could be great.
It can be something completely different, but as you said, it can be great. It creates an avenue or a pathway to something different. And yeah, who knows what these people and these athletes have inside them and what this is going to bring out. I think that's, yes, it sucks, right? Right now is not a great time. We all understand that. It goes without saying, but through, you know, trials and tribulations, things can grow from that. You know, what is it? What's the old saying? Pressure makes diamonds. I don't know. There's probably a thing in there, but you know.
Well, the pressure bust pipes. But pressure also can make a diamond. Yeah. And, you know, I always like the analogy of, you know, even a rose can grow through the concrete. Like there's a lot of them. But the point is are you going to be the rose or are you going to be the concrete? Like the guys and girls need to step up and study. Watch the best. You know what? The best lessons are the history that's been laid out before you. You don't have to recreate the wheel. You watch 20 Shawn Michaels matches for homework. I guarantee you, some of the subtleties, some stuff that people forgot Shawn Michaels did, you can do that. I'm not saying go out there and do the super kick and, you know, swing in from the rafters in a sparkly white suit and try to take moments. I'm saying take the subtleties of his work and make that your bread and butter. It's out there. It's there for you.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Our favorite show in professional wrestling. Mark, I think you went first last week, so I'm going to go first this week. Last week, you threw me for a swerve. We both took Monday Night Raw, which I was not expecting because we really don't take Monday Night Raw that often. They're not, they don't usually win weekly winner. In fact, we talked about it. It largely alternates between NXT and AEW. And for me this week, I am taking AEW. I thought what they did from top to bottom, when you look at even like a random match like Wardlow's match, or you look at the first segment between Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin, but but more specifically, and the main event between Lance Archer and Dustin Rhodes, that was great. It felt like all these matches had stakes. It felt like a natural continuation and a build. It felt organic. I really enjoyed it. We talk about it a lot here on the show in the various days. You know, the sparse crowd, I think it adds a lot to the show. But more importantly, my highlight from AEW, which is my weekly winner for this week, Mark, Britt Baker. Britt Baker and that package that she did from the dentist office, her progression as a heel, you know, not even a heel babyface. I'm going to save that shit. Just her progression as a professional wrestler has been so refreshing. And I've literally been able to watch it from October until now. Like, it is as clear as day with your own two eyes how much better this woman is getting at the business.
She is indeed. And I would have to second that. AEW was number one, and I have a different reason.
Okay.
That they're number one. And Dr. Britt Baker, awesome. But I have, I guess, you know, it's a compound word, two words, Manitoba Melee.
Okay.
I thought it was funny as hell. I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah.
It added an element to their show with the wrestling. Like you said, every match had implications. Like there was a story behind everything, and you pulled it together. But them doing comedy during the show and having the Manitoba man, you had Chris's dad in there with the hockey stick and showing the championship ring. You had the Incredible Hulk. You had Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno dropping in, right?
Come on, man. Like, I mean, it was so, so cool to see that. And as well as I love Vicky Guerrero, and to be able to see Vicky, and the list goes on of people that were involved and how it worked. It was masterful, and it was very entertaining. And I did like NXT as well. A lot of people were like, what did you think about the game show with Byron Saxton? I thought it was creative. I thought it was funny. I thought it added something to pro wrestling, and that's what pro wrestling is. Why bitch and moan about it? We have.
I'm with you.
And but we always say it's not a beauty contest if you're not
first. If you ain't first. Jinx.
You owe me a soda.
Exactly. Exactly. If you ain't first, you're last. AEW get the win. And you know what, Mark? I
and Raw and SmackDown were good.
They were fine. Yeah, absolutely. They were good. But
you had the return of gender.
Yep. Which, you know what, Mark? You talk about
it the was return of gender.
We'll get back to AEW here in a second. But you talk about the return of Jinder Mahal. No build, completely out of nowhere.
I see where it's going, though.
Yeah.
I see where it's going.
Where's it going?
And I told you last night, I can see Jinder feeling like he's undervalued, that he's been put out the pasture. He got hurt, and nobody cares that he's back.
Former champ.
They just a former champion.
Yeah.
And now you see his friend, his compadre, his brother, his old tag mate, being the champion, and I can see the envious jealousy building between them and him saying, hey man, how about a shot at the title for your boy? Throw me a bone. And he's like, well, man, I can't just do that. I mean, you become number one contender. Oh, it's like that. Can't you, man, I can see that story. That would be a great story.
Writes itself almost,
and
right?
To put him right back and give his character more depth and not make it be about the Singh brothers, not being about him being from the Middle East. It has nothing to do with that. Like, we need to get past that. That's that Hollywood American propaganda
typecasting. Yeah.
It's typecasting. Yeah. Let the guy go out and work and get real layered heat. that everybody can understand emotional heat. And that is what the stories that we're seeing on AEW that we're not seeing as much on WWE program.
And that's what that wants to bring me to my next point. And, you know, I see it on social media and you hear it, you know, people, you hear people talk. Mark Henry's a WWE guy. He's a shill. He, you know, he, if you listen to this show on Saturdays, more than half the time, Mark Henry is sitting here putting over AEW and making them their weekly winner. Oh, and as we talk about Dave LaGreca coming up in about 30 minutes here on the show to celebrate his favorite moments in Busted Open history and give his perspective on 11 years, because he's been asking everybody this week what theirs were. I want to ask what Dave is. I go back to just a few months ago, Mark, to some of my favorite moments on this show. It's only been a couple years, but staying up with you till what, 5 a.m. going all night and watching New Japan Pro Wrestling, yeah, Wrestle Kingdom, and then coming and doing a live show. I'm just trying to explain to you, Mark Henry is a fan of professional wrestling. He is a fair fan of professional wrestling. He loves the business, not just the WWE. Mark, I really hope people see that. I'm not really trying to
they
come
don't
to your defense.
And screw them. I ain't trying to please the 10%ers. I know I got 90% of the respect from the fans, and I'll take them. The rest of those 10, those Gunses, they can eat shit and die.
Poor
because
guns.
All they want to do is stir the shit. And they're not even, I think half of those Gunses, they're not even real fans. I think they just want to get on social media and bash people and talk shit. So they don't apply. It don't work for me. They don't move the needle at all.
I like it. Indignant world's strongest man over there, Mark Henry. Let's talk a little bit more about AEW, and let's talk about specifically, I love the finish between Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin. The coffin drop into the roll. Yeah. I love that creative finish. What'd you think about that?
I thought it was nice. I thought that, it was cool to see both of them do it and it be a setup for the finish. And it reminded me a lot of when Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler had the match, and Shayna had her in the hole, and then Kairi Sane rolled backwards and Shayna would not let go because she just trained not to let go of the hold, and she got pinned. It was creative like that, and I'm looking forward to seeing more finishes like that on Raw and SmackDown. You get it in NXT, but I think we would have less conversations about who's going to be the weekly winner. Is it going to be NXT or AEW? Even though Raw and SmackDown are the bigger shows and they get more viewership and they're well established, probably once a month we get one of those teams to be the number one.
Yeah, every so often they sneak in there. Raw, both last week, the Zelina Vega show getting our weekly winner. AEW getting our weekly winner this week. So, Mark, it sets up a TNT championship belt match. We talked about the main event between Lance Archer and Dustin Rhodes. Lance Archer getting the dub. Setting up Lance Archer versus Cody Rhodes for the TNT championship. We talked about this a little bit last week, Mark, and my thoughts on the locker room and essentially the Bucks, Omega, and Rhodes actually getting in their own way, being so mindful of not wanting to put themselves over that they've actually kind of hindered their company to a certain extent. So the logical, I think, thing to have happen Archer. Is the Rhodes name. Right? No, I would say Rhodes, Cody Rhodes. It's the Rhodes name. It's back on TNT. Like it's the first television, if you will, championship. But then you got the Wrecking Machine, right? Lance Archer, the somewhat new face, right? Jake the Snake Roberts as the manager. I mean, it's a compelling matchup. And I think the fact that we both think the other person should win says everything you need to know from this standpoint. Great booking by AEW.
Great booking. And it's that fantasy warfare mentality. And I'm looking forward to seeing it, but my opinions is based off big uglies. And there is not a bigger ugly right now than Archer. Yeah. Like The man knows no pain. The match that you and I saw at Wrestle Kingdom, wow. Him and Moxley beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, they went hard.
Is Cody ready for that? Is he ready?
That's a good question, because the match with Dustin was extremely violent. I would expect, and you talk about the violent match with Moxley at New Japan.
Yeah.
Archer is a violent dude. Cody, we know, has no problem getting color. You know what I mean? So that has all the makings of a brutal, brutal matchup.
Brother, I am excited about it and scared at the same time.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Last year, you were coming to Vegas. You were being the Iron Mike Award, I believe, was the award you received as the main event of the CAC, the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion. It's obviously the nonprofit that helps so many wrestlers out there. And just a little quick PSA, for those of you that don't know about the Cauliflower Alley Club, it is an extremely important organization that takes care of the athletes and the wrestlers that we love so much. They talked about Kamala last year. And it was a very interesting experience. I was very honored for you to invite me. And I just want to frame this for the listeners out there. I am a fan of professional wrestling. I've only known Mark a few years. Mark invites me to this dinner. I was supremely honored. I had no idea where I would be sitting. I didn't know what the situation would be. When I arrive, my wife and I go to the front table. I'm sitting there with Mark Henry, D'Lo Brown, basically the Nation of Domination. There's Sergeant Slaughter. There's Adamaya Villa, The Rock's mom, sitting next to me. Yeah, that's normal. I'm just a kid from Indiana, and there's The Rock's mom. This is the weirdest experience. Behind me, in table behind me, are Jerry Lawler, Gerald Briscoe, JR's up, or essentially emceeing the whole thing. So it was a surreal experience. But Mark, that experience for me took a wild turn when Dr. D, David Schultz, was also being honored that night and given the microphone and the ability to tell his story. But when he started to speak, we saw a little bit, if you saw it on the Dark Side of the Ring on Tuesday, a very sensitive but albeit somewhat bitter man about his history with the business, essentially talking about being blackballed by the WWE. And Mark, I will never forget that night when he looked at all of those tables and he was like, you didn't do shit for me. You didn't do shit for me. The WWE didn't do shit for me. And I'm just sitting there, you know, I'm completely out of my element. I'm blown away at this moment. And I hadn't heard from Dr. D since, I mean, to me, Dr. D was a YouTube sensation. He was the guy that slapped the reporter. That was pretty much it. For him to come out and to essentially bring that heat, I was blown away. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that night and what was going through your head as Dr. D was kind of giving his thoughts on his career and his thoughts on the WWE and Vince McMahon.
I was hoping that Stossel would come through the side entrance and dropkick him off the stage is what I was hoping. But it didn't happen. Would never happen. Only, not even in a fantasy world it would happen. No, I was taken aback. I thought it was a disrespectful time to, you know, do that. That stage is for saying thank you to the people that helped you, that wanted to help you, that were letting you know that you were special to the industry, despite whatever treatment you got from somewhere else. And he neglected. He said thank you at the end when he went off the stage.
Yeah.
And you know, he didn't really shit on the Cauliflower Alley Club, but just using that stage as a means to say that Vince screwed him over, or that, you know, there were people in the audience that didn't support him, that's not the place. That wasn't the place for it. It was classless. As a kid, I was a fan of his. And he tore down all of that in just the 20 minutes that he was up there, which should have been more like 5 minutes. I was coming up and, as you said, was the main event. And I felt like it tarnished some of what I was saying with the strengthening the fact that we need to help our older wrestlers more, that we need to support the Cauliflower at the club, that we need to make it younger. And if you can do that, then you can have some success. But that's another story. It was odd, you know.
It was.
And I had never met him in person before. And I had a lot of questions, not about wrestling, but about him being a bounty hunter, because I know a couple of bounty hunters in Houston. And okay. I wanted to just, you know, see if he worked with my guys at any point. And, you know, we never got there.
It no, because like, he actually left
before
the main event, because you acknowledged him. You were like, and I think you wanted to say something nice about him. You wanted to kind of, you know, smooth things over and acknowledge the awkwardness. I mean, it was heavy, because I wanted to
put a bridge in between him, Vince, and the Cauliflower Alley Club. Like, whatever happened with you and Vince, you know what? I was going to tell him that's between y'all. I was like, the Cauliflower Alley Club, they need the respect and they need the support of people like you, because they will be able to help you more than anybody else would. And he was gone already. He just, you know, took his ball and went home. But that's a character thing. That's something that he's done his whole career, is I'm going to do what I think is right, and then I'm going to blame the failures on everybody else. Like, you can't accept all your winnings and not take your failures with you. I fell down a lot, bro. I wasted money. I did stuff that made my life at home miserable. But that was my fault.
Yeah.
I owned it. I stepped up to it. And I've done a pretty good job, I think, of fixing all the things where I failed. He did not own his shit. He tried to pass it on other people. And on the dark side of the ring, that's the way it came across. Well, they told me to do this. And he's got the crazy eye. He's got a little bit of that a whole lot of crazy, brother. He got a whole lot of it. And he's a tough guy.
Oh, no question.
Even now.
Yeah.
Even in his 60s.
Oh, I wouldn't mess with him.
Man, that dude is trained.
Yep.
Like he said, being a bounty hunter was easy for him. He wrestled around with dudes all day for a living. And a lot of people might not recognize this, but in Dark Side of the Ring, out of all the weapons that you could have, I would think that, you know, an officer of the law would have a 45, 9mm, you know, hell, a revolver, 38, 357. This dude had a damn Tech 9. You know what a Tech 9 is? It's a gangster gun.
It's a street sweeper.
I'm not trying to be accurate. I'm trying to spray the club up. He had a spray the club up gun. I'm like, what in the hell is he trying to do?
He's holding it like,
like, come on, man.
Dr. D.
That's not safe. Man.
You know what? As you're talking about being a fan of Dr. D, and obviously, you know, that experience at the CAC was very interesting, but you talked about being a fan of him. That's something that I loved tough guys growing up as a kid. Well, that's the thing, Mark. I didn't know just how good he was, because all I knew
he was
beyond good, man. Like, the energy and the confidence and the conviction
and the crazy.
Well, and the believability, yeah. But the promise that he had, man. I mean, he had a good life. He talked about it. I mean, he's obviously clearly bitter. You saw it in Dark Side of the Ring. There is still some of that venom in him, but he still ended up having a good life, and his legacy is what it will be. But as a pro wrestler, Mark, as a heel, holy shit, that guy had serious, serious charisma.
You go and look up on his matches on YouTube. Inoki, Pedro Morales, the cream of the crop in WWWF wrestling, the guys that were older, Bruno Sammartino, he wrestled the best. You don't get to wrestle the best guys if you're not one, really skilled in talent, safe in the ring, and has good psychology and understanding of how to get everything over. He was really, really good. But his mouth and his actions and character outside the ring is what derailed him. And I can feel like sorry for him but he don't care about you feeling sorry for him. That's the thing.
Well, he's made that very clear.
He made it very clear. I don't give a damn about people's sympathy. I don't care, but they feel sorry for the old man. He mocked people.
I got a text.
Still. So imagine him at 30 years old.
Yeah.
How arrogant and conceited he must have been. So that was what I took out of it. I wish I could have had a conversation with him because he might have told me to go screw off. But at least I would have said my piece. I didn't even get to say my piece because he left before the function was over. Screw the main event. Screw the final speaker. It's like all those assholes that left when Goldberg went up in his Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah.
Stay and respect the man. My family and I stayed. I just got, it's like those are character issues. And I think he had more of that than anybody else that I've run into in, my walk in pro wrestling.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.